Tom, let's start with Bitcoin, which is trading well above $200 at the moment. I mean, is this a real currency?
Well, yes, it is. If people are prepared to actually carry out transactions using it, then that counts as money. So it's admittedly a rather unusual form of currency. It's defined algorithmically. But as far as the people who are using it are concerned, that's its great benefit. The algorithms that define bitcoins, these individual units of currency, limit the total number that can be produced to 21 million. And what that means is that there's no danger, as with a real currency, that a central bank might decide to metaphorically or literally start the printing presses and create lots of new currency, which would devalue the currency already in circulation. So it's this very strangeness of it, the fact that it's ephemeral and it doesn't have a central bank behind it, which in current circumstances makes it so appealing.
Now, we've seen sort of alternative digital currencies come and go before, haven't we? I remember back in the dot-com days, dot-com boom days, you know, beans and flues and various other weird names that were supposed to grease the sort of wheels of e-commerce, and they didn't really last. So should we take this one more seriously?
Yes, I think we should. What's very interesting about Bitcoin is that it's completely peer-to-peer, so there isn't a center you can shut down. And we've seen this with previous disruptive technologies. We saw it with peer-to-peer file sharing, things like BitTorrent and Skype, although actually Skype's architecture's changed. It's not quite as peer-to-peer as it used to be. So it's very often the form that disruptive new technologies take that they're implemented in a peer-to-peer way. And the nice thing about them, from the point of view of users, is that there isn't a center, so that makes them harder to shut down and more resilient. And at the moment, that seems to mean that Bitcoin appeals particularly to people who want this direct, anonymous peer-to-peer payment, and that may include people who are doing things they shouldn't, like avoiding taxes or dealing in drugs. But there are legitimate reasons why you might want to be able to do that as well. At the moment, if I want to send money to somebody on the other side of the world, it may be that as many as four banks are involved. If I want to send money from Britain to China in dollars, then there may be four banks. And once you've added exchange charges and so on, then you can see why the ability to just send money directly from my computer to theirs would be rather appealing.
But you've seen quite a lot of volatility in the price here. I mean, we talked earlier on about going from $10 to over $200 now, and it's gone up and down. I think some people feel that there's a real bubble here and that there's speculation going on left, right and centre. Until it becomes a sort of more broader-based currency, you can't really trust it. Is that right?
The volatility has been due to a number of things. Clearly, the price is being bid up now. A lot of people are piling into it. It's sort of the new gold in some ways. We don't have a nice word in the same way that we have gold bugs, as people who like to hoard gold as what they regard as a reliable store of value. We don't have a term like that for Bitcoin yet, but I'm sure one will come along. Where we've seen volatility in the past has been when there have been break-ins to online wallets where some people can store their bitcoins, or where entire computers have been stolen with bitcoins in them, and that makes everyone worry about the security of the whole system. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the interest in Bitcoin accompanies things like the rescue in Cyprus, and people are looking around for a place to store money where you can't have that money taken away from you at the whim of bankers or politicians. So I think that appeals to people. That said, I think if you look at history, there are a couple of interesting analogies to draw with the fates of other technologies. If you look at MySpace, MySpace paved the way, really, and before it, Friendster paved the way for Facebook, and Facebook ended up being the world's most popular social network. It's very possible the same could happen to Bitcoin. Bitcoin will get people used to the idea that you could do this, but perhaps another example of a cryptocurrency might come along that people are more inclined to trust. And one way that might happen is if it's blessed by a trusted organization. So at the moment, there are a few online service providers that will accept Bitcoins in return for services, things like web hosting services, for example. But there aren't any really sort of big names that will accept Bitcoin payments. And if you look at what happened with PayPal, PayPal was as successful as it was because it was widely used to settle transactions on eBay. And eventually eBay, of course, bought PayPal. So I think Bitcoin is really waiting for its sort of PayPal moment. And it may not be Bitcoin that this happens to. It may be that some rival to Bitcoin is blessed by Google or Amazon or someone like that. And that then makes everyone take it seriously. And we'll then look back on Bitcoin rather sort of nostalgically in the way that we look back on MySpace or Friendster today.